What's happening, Hardscapers? This is episode 119 of the How to Hardscape podcast, where we talk to you about how you can start and grow your hardscaping business. And today's episode is brought to you by IQ Power Tools. They manufacture a comprehensive range of innovative power tools with integrated dust collection systems. Check them out at iqpowertools.com, as well as Alliance Gator for sponsoring today's episode. Their innovation has brought products like Gator Base, G2 Polymeric Sand, Extreme Edge, Nitro Joint Sand, and a diverse range of geotextiles to the hardscape market. Go check them out at AllianceGator.com. And in today's episode, we're going to hear from past I Am a Hardscaper interviewees answering a single question. What do you do to qualify your clients to ensure that you are not wasting your time setting up an initial consultation with someone that is not a good fit for your business? This is a question I have asked since the beginning of these interviews with hardscape business owners, and it is one that I have found great value in. When I first began my business, I was excited just to meet anybody to set up a consultation, and I was wasting a lot of my time back then and knew that I needed to follow a process to qualify these potential clients contacting me to make sure that I would serve them best. You will hear great insight here from other contractors in this episode, and you can go back, check out their full interview as well to learn more about them and their business. Some of these answers get into the initial consultation as well, but the primary focus here is the qualification stage of the process. We also have an I Am a Hardscaper roundtable rally around this topic that you can check out here on this podcast. And if you want to provide your own insight on this stage of the process, you can go to speakpipe.com/howtohardscape. That's speakpipe.com/howtohardscape. There you can send us a voicemail that we will play on this podcast in the future. And let's get into this episode. This is Matt of Hardscape Ottawa.
So we actually have a great thing set up where people can book online through us. We don't actually even necessarily need to speak with potential customers through a secretary or anything like that. So they book through this widget for the website called Calendly. That goes into my Google Calendar. I always know where I'm supposed to be. And then they fill out a questionnaire at that same time, which also forces them to go back and look at those packages section and really make sure that they understand that you do have to have a specific amount of a budget to be able to work with our business. So it's a very different experience going to these sales meetings than it is in the past if you don't have all these pre-qualifying measures put in place. So we do free consultations for now. A lot of the time people who are contacting us are qualified buyers, so it's not so bad sort of running around the city a little bit in the springtime. But we do paid 3D designs. Most people that have contacted us, they've made their way through the website, right? They've read we have an explainer about the value of that paid design right beside where you book that free consultation as well, right? So a lot of the time I'm going in there, and they're thinking about buying that paid design already. They just need to be spoken to or meet me and really understand that my ideas are, you know, we back it up what we say. It's really important, that distinction, though, between the free consultations and free estimates, right? It's impossible to price custom work with a standard square foot price. You need a scope of work in order to provide an exact price. So, you know, a lot of these people, they'll already know the packages on the website, right? They'll say, oh, yeah, I'm interested in that $15,000 to $25,000 backyard. For the most part, this meeting is an interview that I show that I do have the knowledge that we shared on the website, and to get a feel for how I will be to work with. Often enough, during these free consultations, people mention being a visual person. This is a great chance to show them the value of that paid 3D design. I view these consultations as a great chance to build value with every question the customer asks. So for now, we'll do those free consultations. However, often enough, those do lead to landing those paid 3D designs, as they do want to get a quote from us, right? So how do we give that quote without the scope of work? So a lot of this process is about identifying the pain point with that potential client as they're going through the procurement process of finding a contractor. So let's face it, it's an absolute nightmare for someone who doesn't know a single thing about hardscaping, trying to figure out who is a qualified contractor, right? Especially in our rapidly innovating industry, where years in business doesn't necessarily mean actual up-to-date installation best practice know-how. There's a lot of guys that have been in business for 30 years that are still just dumping a bunch of GA in the ground, right? So if I can show them those pain points, provide them with the solution of that paid design that will, you know, it'll allow them to visualize exactly what they'll be receiving better than a scribble on some graph paper, because the average person has no idea what that means, right? They don't understand what a landscape drawing means. They can't visualize it like you or I can. So along with that, being able to look at it. They also get a complete scope of work that breaks down every single material and quantity to be used, and the best practices installation recommendations on that too. You can tell them, look, like, you know, even if you buy this design, you can then take all these numbers and shop, you know, interview other contractors, but then have them estimate on that so that they're not wasting their time too much, but you can still double check that our price is fair, right? And this way they're actually going to be able to compare apples to apples quotes. Whereas the other way of kind of, sort of come back, let us know your design and we'll figure it out from there. We'll see who we like to work with. That's just not going to work, right? So it's a lot easier if they can kind of compare three quotes on the exact same design. So you'd be amazed at how many people are actually willing to pay for that. A lot of guys are sort of scared to push for it, but a lot of people are interested in that. But not every single project needs that 3D design, and not everyone is interested in it either, right? So if it does feel like that person's just trying to get me to enter into that free design contest, I'm going to say no thanks. You know, that person's wasting my time, you know, or I'll try and do it more politely, just sort of, you know, let me know if you get a design from someone, I'd be happy to estimate on that. But other projects, they can be relatively simple. It's, they need a retaining wall that's however many feet long, however many feet high. They don't need a design for that. If you have a good estimating process in place, that shouldn't take you more than a few minutes to estimate. So it's not everything is paid for, but any sort of design work we absolutely do get paid for. One of the great parts about that, too, is that it directly compensates you for your time designing that project. Which makes it a lot easier to go home and sit on your computer after you've worked on a job site all day. And it also makes it more fair to your actual customers who aren't then indirectly paying for those projects that you designed but didn't land, because you spent a lot of time on those and those people didn't pay you for them, right? So someone ends up paying you for that time. And it's your real customers, not the people who aren't actually your customers. So there's all those bonuses, plus you know exactly what's going to get built. And there is a lot less surprises for both you and the customer, which is going to massively increase your efficiencies.
This is Sean of Premier Outdoor Living.
So that's a really good question, because that's something that I've kind of tweaked and am still working on, really refining that process of pre-qualifying the leads, because, you know, I don't want to go on 100 estimates for, you know, 80 of those being like 100% the wrong fit. So a lot of that's done over the phone. Well, first of all, if they find us online, they kind of start to get a sense of we really specialize in these unique, a little bit more high-end projects. On our Facebook, on our Instagram, and on our website, you know, we're always posting on, you know, how much our average projects are. So if they follow us from social media into our website and then fill out a contact form, those people are typically pretty good leads, because they kind of know what we do already. It's the people that, you know, maybe just find us on Google and they call us and they want something, you know, very basic. And that's not really our client that we're looking to serve. So it's really just a quick phone conversation, ask them what they're looking for, you know, ask if they have a budget. Most people will not give that over the phone. So I've just established that our projects start around $30,000. And if somebody's open to spending at least 30, they're probably a good fit and we could probably do something for them. That's not the case always, but that seems to be a good number, where if they say, okay, yeah, I still want to have you come out for an appointment, you know, it's usually a client that is probably going to be a good fit.
This is Caleb of Amen Landscape.
You know, a lead will either come in through our website or through a Facebook message or, you know, on our company, you know, phone line, or even onto my cell. Somehow somebody gets my cell phone somehow, which is fine, by the way. I give it out all the time for work contacts. Jeez. So, you know, we'll return a phone call. I try to get on the phone if possible, for a few reasons, to begin to pre-screen a client, to talk to them, see what they want to do. So a call will come in or a request will come in. I will try to talk with them on the phone if at all possible, or for whatever reason, if it's, you know, an email that they want responded to via email. But I try to get a concept of the scope of the projects. I want to know, you know, you can kind of gauge what they know about landscaping or landscape construction through a conversation. If they start out the conversation immediately with, "Hi, do you give free quotes?" right there is an instant red flag to me. I'm so disinterested in that phone call at that point that it's not even funny, because I know immediately that person is a just budget shopping or price shopping. And so they're not going to respect my time when I drive half an hour, whatever, to their property and take all this time and experience and tour the property with them and all stuff. So one of the first things is like how they set the call up, I guess. And so one of the kisses of death for us, you know, working with you is if you ask if we get free estimates, because for the most part, we don't. We have a $75 consult fee initially on brand new clients that we've never worked with before. And unless they're super local, but if they're super local within 5 miles, I want to get in front of them anyways because of a thing we've kind of coined, I think, which is zip code domination. And we want to be the contractor locally. We want to be the people you're going to. So I'll waive the fee on those usually just because, like, chances are they know someone else locally, and I at least want to get in front of them so they know me, they know my face, and they might refer to me like, yeah, we had Almond out, and, you know, it didn't work out for us to do anything with them, but you might try them out. And so we're always trying to build our name locally that way. So we'll get a thing figured out where we'll figure out what their project is. Sometimes if I don't feel good about the call, I'll ask if they've had any pricing on it. I'll figure out what their square footage of their project is and just kind of give them a rough ballpark of like, well, most of our patio projects start at $10,000. Is that something that's agreeable to you? Or would we need to try to trim that back? Or do you have a better budget than that? And so we do all this very tactically, right? Not just very rude and crude. So we run through a process like that. And then we meet, you know, then we'll meet generally as soon as we can. We don't want to lose the opportunity. I'll print out from our county auditor's website, has a thing you can download on their website, is a footprint of the house online through the county auditor's website. And so I'll take that with me because it helps save some time taking dimensions. I will then go through a walkthrough with the client. You know, this is pretty standard stuff here, but we'll take dimensions, elevation. So we'll run through a thing where, you know, we'll see what the client wants to achieve. We'll really try to tack them down as to what their budget is. It does mean, and this is why I say this to them, is, you know, I know it's not a fun conversation to have, but if you have any idea what your budget is, be it whatever, and then I'll go through, like, projects like this generally run about $20,000 or $30,000 or $5,000 or whatever. And so if they get kind of cold feet at that or whatever, and the reason so then I also come back around and say, and the reason I say this is because if I design you a project that's $70,000 and your budget's $20,000, you know, nobody's gonna, you know, benefit from that. And so, you know, in that way, it doesn't, you know, nobody wins in that case. So we want to tailor a project to you that fits your budget. And so, you know, that's why the budget is so important. And so we talk about that. And if they still just say, well, you know, come up with something, get back with me, I kind of am hesitant to that, but I'll draw something, or I'll even just spec something kind of middle of the road. And that way, if we come back, we can say, look, we can add lighting, we can take the lighting out, you know, kind of work through there. But if they won't give me a number to work off of, I get real skeptical about the project in general. And also, too, it tells me I haven't done enough to build trust or rapport with them. Because some folks will think, like, well, if I tell you $20,000, you're going to hit me for $19,999. You're going to do everything you can to nail that budget, right? And not like, well, hey, actually, the project came in at $17,500. Awesome. We beat your budget, right? Which it never does, right? It's always like they want the moon. And I know myself, too. I'm shopping for trucks right now. I want the world for $20,000, you know? So like, I get it. So I try to be empathetic with my clients too in that regard. So I'm like, that's kind of our initial process. So we'll take that information back to the office. We'll either do something quick in our design software. And, you know, generally I'll shoot something back to them via email, a concept and some pricing. And then, and this is the bad salesman in me. If I was a good salesman, I would set an appointment. I'd go meet with them. I'd present it. And I'd tack them down on the spot for how much do we want to do? Let's get some money down. Let's schedule it. Let's do it. I don't push like that a lot. It's not my style. I'm really bad about that. And if I was a better salesman, I would go for the close, and I would just, you know, crush on that close. So the projects that I really want, I might go that extra step to try to meet with them, make sure it's painted out. But generally what we'll do is we'll get a project together and we'll email it back to them with pricing and a 3D rendering. And generally, it's just going to be a patio with like 6 plants and a tree. And we don't get into like really large landscape installs like some of my peers do that I admire so much on Instagram. Our general project is going to hover $10,000 to $20,000. We don't get into like $60,000 backyards too often, especially because of our rural demographic. But it's kind of one of the things we've gotten known for. And I've got buddies locally, they do on average $60,000 projects. And it's one of those things, the more you do of one thing, the more you get known for, right? If I really wanted to go down that road, I would make an effort to get into those projects, those large projects regular. But we've really found a sweet spot in these $10,000 to $20,000 jobs. We're in and out in a week or a week and 2 or 3 days, and we're hitting good numbers on those projects, and we really like them, and I'm cool with that. My ego is now out of the game. My ego used to be in the game big time of like, oh, we did this patio, we did that patio. I don't care about that anymore. I want the profitable work, and that's all I care about. Now, once in a while, I would be lying if I said I don't get into like, we want this job because it's on the main street in town, and we want the exposure. And doesn't mean I'll lose money on it, but we might do some things to make sure that we do win the bid, or, you know, win the project, or I might try to a little harder to sell it. But for the most part, we'll submit that stuff via email. I'll then call a client, check up on it. And we have a really good close ratio on most of that type of work. Again, that referral thing, that's where the referral is so strong and so good that I guess, fortunately, and again, because it's a good economy, us sales guys don't have to work too hard to close on projects. So.
This is Jeremy of J Squared Outdoor.
Always going to get them on the phone as quickly as I can. You can't really go back and forth on email to set up the initial consultation. I need to talk to them on the phone. I need to get a feel for who they are, what they're trying to accomplish, if they're a good fit. So when I get them on the phone, you know, it's just a quick chat, but I just want to make sure that they're the right fit for us before we go out and meet with them. I'm going to ask them things like what kind of project they're doing, what their timeline is, what their budget is. Have they done anything like this before? I'm also going to try to get, you know, if they just want a patio or something like that, I want to know how big it's going to be roughly. So, you know, they don't ever know exactly how big it's, but they could say like 20 by 30. And you can kind of shoot some rough ballpark numbers at that point just to make sure we're in the same field as far as cost goes. Because a lot of people will call us and say, hey, I want this 500 square foot patio, and they think it's going to be $500 or something crazy like that. But if they're like, yeah, it's going to be, we know we're going to spend $20,000, you know, then you know you're onto something and you can kind of set up some appointments. If they have no clue, a lot of times I'll have them send me some pictures, just text them to me, and I can say, okay, if we're going to throw a patio on this backyard, it's going to be kind of in this ballpark. And sometimes I'll say, oh my God, I didn't think it was going to be that expensive. But a lot of times that's a good way to get people going in your direction too quickly.
This is Andy Mulder of Mulder Maintenance and Services.
Yeah, so I usually obviously ask where they're located. I don't really go very much farther than maybe in 45 minutes away from our home base. So location is important. I always want to know how they heard about us, and then just try and ask them what they're looking for and, you know, why they called us. And I try and ask for a budget right off the bat on a phone call. Usually I don't have very good success with that on a phone call. People always try and just, or they just say they don't have one or not really sure or whatever. And so I just try and get a feel for what they're looking to have done, you know. And then if it sounds like something I'm interested in, or if it's a referral that's good enough that I don't really need to vet it too much, I'll schedule an interview or schedule a time for me to come over and meet with them, and we go from there.
This is Garrett of Premier Landscape.
Well, Mike, I'm in my office right now and I'm staring at a whiteboard. And this is the most simple system that works really well for us. And granted, you can make an Excel sheet or a Google sheet or whatever, but you know, this is a good visual in my office that myself and my manager have that we use as a talking point. But this whiteboard literally says lead, consult, design, estimate, sold, complete. So that lead comes in, and we try to keep that lead as hot as possible. We sell most of our work, aside from our reputation, due to our communication. So if that lead comes in, I'm calling them, emailing them, whichever, as fast as possible. And then I want to meet with them as fast as possible. And then I want to get them through the entire process as fast as reasonably possible. So communication for us has really been our number one sales tool. I mean, we literally get jobs just for showing up to the estimate. It still amazes me. People blow off clients for a few days, and in the industry that we're in, everybody wants everything so quick. They're on their phone. They want to talk about a patio. They're emotional at that point, ready to go, and they don't want to wait. They won't wait a week. If you can't get back to them in a day, you know, chances are they're already lined up someone else.
This is Chad of Natural Design Landscapes.
If I'm getting a phone call during the day, I'm most likely not going to answer it unless it's from the client that I'm working for at that moment. I try and screen all my calls so that I'm not using one client's time to work for another, right? I'm the face of the company, but I'm also still out in the field installing. I have to try and separate my time so that my client at that time gets my full attention until I can move on to the next project. So what I'm trying to say is I'll return calls off the working clock, I guess. So after hours, whenever the saw is not running in the background and whenever the packers aren't running and whenever the machines aren't going off, I'll screen the calls. And if you are, I guess, lucky enough to get a hold of me, I'll schedule our estimates for generally sometime in the evening. You'll have a quick chat with the client, and we'll proceed from there, sort of like a regular consult. I'll ask them what they want, why they want us to do it, because I think that's important at this point is, are they calling us because they want us, or are they just looking for a number? And we're really, at this point, when it comes to hardscape, we're not the number guys. If price is number one, then honestly, as bad as it sounds, I don't really even want to be involved. I want to do something that's going to last, something that's going to look amazing, something that we're going to have fun doing, but I don't want to go through that whole penny pinching process like we used to do in the past, or starting out at least.
This is Tony of Group Zamco.
Well, I mean, it's pretty straightforward. We get the requests. A lot of our requests, obviously nowadays, people don't really call anymore. It's mostly online, emails, through our contact form on our website, or Instagram, a lot through Instagram. Initially, I know I always ask for a phone number because I prefer to speak to a client directly first. I still have that kind of old school. I'm hands on. Right. I like the interaction. So I always speak to a client first and kind of just get the understanding of what their project is and what they want to do. I'll ask them, okay, first of all, where do you live? What area? And that gives me an idea, you know, if it's something is feasible for us or not to begin with. And then ask them, you know, is it a new development? Because there's so many factors at play. But once I gather that information, I understand what the project is. Then what I'll do is I'll ask them to send me their localization with, if they could, a few photos of the property, that always helps. And I'll schedule an appointment with them, on site, at their home. I'll go there, you know, discuss with them a bit further, but already at this point we've discussed, what they want to do. But at that point, I will hand them a tackle block catalog, tell them to go through it, look at the products, you know, kind of get an understanding of the materials that they like. And I'll see any kind of issues that may arise as far as the neighbor's land, the height of the neighbor's land, or a pool, or whatever the case is. From there, back then I used to go back. So up until last year, I used to go to the client with a 3D render and kind of run through the process and all that, make adjustments for them right there on the spot. And, then either sign the contract with them immediately or, you know, give them time to, if that's what they want, give them time to think, and then come back and sign the contract or send them by email, have it signed. Now it'll be a bit different in the sense that with our office space, first meeting will always be the same, but the second meeting, clients will be coming to us, right? Like I said, they'll be presented their project. Then they're going to, instead of just looking at the catalog, they're going to feel the materials, they're going to touch the materials, they're going to see the physical materials. And then from there, again, they're going to have the option if they want to sign immediately or they want to think about it. We have a zero pressure sales tactic. We don't believe in pressuring the client into signing. If they want our services are there. If they're not, if we're out of budget, or if, you know, sometimes the vibe just isn't there, cool. Like, we have no problem with that. You know what I mean? It's and everyone goes on their way, and the door's always open, and we leave it at that. But yeah, that's basically a nutshell what our sales call looks like.
This is Mike of Creekside Outdoor Living.
Yeah, 100%, man. Well, I think the most important thing is to screen, you know, the call a little bit to figure out, okay, is this somebody that wants a very, very, very small project and something that I'm not going to really want to take on? You have to make sure that the project is going to match your work and the thing that you want to do. So that's really important. You want to try to squeeze a budget out of them at the very first phase. And man, I would say 9 times out of 10, but I think it's more like 99 times out of 100, people say, oh, I don't have a budget. They have a budget, man. If you tell them, well, okay, well, what if this was $200,000? Well, they'll come up with a budget real fast and say, whoa, no. Well, I thought you didn't have a budget. So I think that's pretty important. You start digging into the project a little bit over the phone and say, okay, Mr. Smith, Mr. and Mrs. Smith, it sounds like, and obviously this is without me being there, this is without me knowing site conditions or machinery access, but it sounds like we're in, you know, maybe $30,000 range, $50,000, whatever the case may be. Does that sound like it's, you know, reasonable to you? Does that sound like it's what you guys are comfortable spending on this project? And right then and there, they're going to go, oh yeah, that's about what we were thinking. Or, oh no, I thought this was a $5,000 project. Well, that's a big step right there, because you just recovered so much lost time. It's crazy to even think about. So that's one of the biggest parts right there. You screen them over the phone. Next, I want to know where they heard about me from. Was it just flipping through the book, or were you referred to me by somebody? If you were flipping through the book, I might want to dig a little bit deeper, because if you're flipping through the book, it means you're looking for, a lot of times, you know, the lowest cost guy. And I really need to communicate to people, hey, I'm sorry, I'm not known for being the lowest cost guy. In fact, it's kind of the opposite. We're known for being one of the more expensive guys, but it's because we're going to install a product that lasts, blah, blah, blah. And that has deterred people away before too, is me just being flat out honest. So I think one of the biggest key things is to avoid, and I don't want to call them time wasters, because, you know, people are people, and they either know the industry or they don't know the industry. So them in and of itself, they are not time wasters, but those, you know, the going out there and spending all this time, you have to drive there, you have to talk with them, then you have to drive back. It's a lot of time lost to not even be within the ballpark budget. So that's really key.
This is John of Signature Landscape.
In years past, before I now have 4 daughters, before I have more of a family commitment and a home commitment, I've pretty much taken down the information and gone to the meeting. And sometimes you're like, why am I here? Sometimes you're like, wow, this could be a great job. In 2009, especially this year, because there's been a big push towards spending on your home, people can't really go anywhere else, we've been screening a little bit harder. So a call can come in and we'll talk about what the client is looking to do. Maybe they talk about a patio space or a pavilion or a fire trough or a bar or what have you. And based on the conversation, I will ask the client, you know, what are they budgeting? Obviously, I get the same answer we all get, like, we're not really sure what things cost. And then I might follow up with, would you like to take a minute with me and talk about that? And I'll give them ballparks. I've been doing this long enough where I can tell, you know, a normal size pergola, a normal size pavilion, a normal size bar, a fire trough, a fire pit, a fireplace. And just give them a general feel based on the things you asked me for today. I think you're in the 40, 60, 80. You know, I think you're bounced between the 60 and 100K range. Leave yourself room for error, but get on a level playing field. And usually based on experience, you can get a good feel on whether or not the client is still interested or if the tune changes. And that's usually just gut and experience on how much further you take it from there. I have also implicated this year, especially saying, you know what, why don't you take a minute to sit, you know, to take it all in, or send some photos of the job site back to me, and just open up the communication. People are comfortable with emailing, messaging, text messaging, and start talking about the project even before you get out there.
This is Dylan of DNR Hardscapes.
So pretty much vetting our customers. I mean, I think everybody does it. I mean, with the hardscaping world, you got to understand there's some parts of town that you're not going to be installing hardscaping on. I am the guy that I reply back to everything. I may automatically see it and I may deny it right then and there. But I always reply back to that customer no matter what. I never left something unread. I never leave a lead unfollowed. Because I will say this, 2 years ago, my very first pool that I ever installed, I got a lead. This woman messaged me, and I'll never forget it the rest of my life. And she sent me her address. She's like, hey, we're looking for a pool, you know, blah, blah, blah. And at that point in time, I was really hurting for jobs. I was like, we're in like February timeframe. I was like, it's getting winter. You know, I'm trying to find some jobs to match up. And I almost didn't go this job. It was in a very bad part of town. I looked up their house. I looked up their parcel. I looked up their property taxes. And I was like, these people, there ain't no way we can even fit a pool in their backyard. But I was like, you know what? I'm going to go do it. I sold a $170,000 pool project to that person. And at that point in time, I realized, I was like, nah. I was like, it's not about who's doing this, who's doing that. It's about how you can sell it. If somebody doesn't like what you're doing, then your story is not good enough. And I've always lived by that for a very long time. So with doing that, I vet these customers by looking at a lot of different things. I ask them a ton of questions. Don't automatically look at their address. Don't automatically look at their side of town they're on. Don't automatically look at their property value. I've learned the hard way that way. The big things that you want to do is ask a lot of questions. Do they know what they want? Do they know how much they want to spend? Give them prices of stuff that you're doing. Give them rough estimates. But like most of my pool projects, when somebody messages me, I immediately tell them, I was like, most of our pool projects start off around 75,000. They go up to 150. But when you say that stuff, it scares people. So you have to add a story to that. You have to add, well, yeah, our pools are 75 to 150, but we're full turnkey. You don't deal with other customers. We don't come dig a hole, throw a pool in. You get full turnkey. You don't have to do anything. We do take care of all your permits, electrical, plumbing, any fees associated, your fencing if you need that, retaining walls. We're your one-stop shop. So people start seeing the value in your story. So I always reply back to messages. On my website, I've got a place where they fill out the budget, where they fill out their time frame when they do that. Man, when somebody gives me $1,000 budget and they give me a 1 week time frame, it's really hard for me to reply back to that. But take advantage of that. Tell them, be like, hey, I'm a prestigious company. Like, this is the stuff that we do. We are booked out, you know, 3 to 4 months. This is kind of the quality we can give you. If you're willing to wait, I'd be happy to come out and just chat with you. So that's kind of the steps that I've kind of taken. Like, a lot of people are really adamant on looking at people's property values, looking on their Facebook to see what kind of people they are. Man, I'm not one of those persons that judge a book by their cover because it's bit me a few times. And I was like, you know what? I'm never going to do that again. And I'm actually going to give everybody that time of day. And by doing that, also, you build that relationship with that customer, even if they don't go with you. They could go with another company. I've had two other people this year in the last 2 months that has actually went with a different company. One in Hendersonville and one in there's a subdivision outside of town. Both of them have went with a different pool company, but I've gotten two jobs from those two companies based off of my interactions that I had with them from one of their neighbors. So don't take it. Don't start looking too deep into it. Don't start, you know, looking at financials. Is this worth my time? A message takes you 10 minutes, man. A message takes you 5 minutes. You build that relationship with that person and it could project you for that job. It could project you to further jobs. They're going to remember your name and it's just networking. That's all it is. It takes 10 minutes of your time. Stay up a little bit later, you know, reply, get a very in-depth, very professional message back to them. And I guarantee you, they will remember that.
This is Greg and Errol of Valley Outdoor Design.
Yeah, so I mean, typically, you know, like I said, because I handle most of the sales, I guess I'll kind of spearhead this one. Yeah. You know, when a customer calls or, you know, pretty much like eight or nine times out of 10, they actually contact us through our website and the form on our website. And I've designed it. I handle the website ourselves. So I designed the contact form and I pointedly ask questions on it where, you know, how much are you looking to spend? What's your budget? What are you looking for? You know, when are you looking for us to get on site? That sort of thing. And I mean, this entire year, honestly, not even this entire, but I mean, since last summer, it's been, you know, if a customer wants to work with us, you're going to have to wait, you know, a minimum of a month. A lot of cases, especially this year, it's probably been 2 or 3 months. yeah. You know, honestly, and I'm sure plenty of people can, you know, plenty of guys can, you know, relate to that. But, you know, if it comes in on the phone, obviously at least listen to the voicemail kind of, and after this, at this point, the first, you know, you can kind of, doing it long enough, you can kind of tell, you know, if this person is somebody that is going to work for you. You know, we give free consultations. I try to vet the client enough where either over the phone or, you know, just from the initial voicemail or, you know, contact form, that it's going to be worth my time going out. And 9 times out of 10, it pretty much is. Even if we don't get the job, there's always something to be taken away from, you know, an interaction with a potential customer. But, you know, just like, you know, if they're contacting us for maintenance, like I said, that goes over to my dad. But in terms of, you know, landscape design build, you know, just kind of asking them how much you're looking to spend.
And yeah, then well, location is
location. Exactly.
Criteria yeah. That we look at, you know,
most of the jobs it's actually been pretty nice this year. Most of our jobs have been pretty close to our shop here, which has been great. But obviously if, you know, if it's too far away, then I won't, yeah. You know, or if we're too busy, then I've made a lot of connections with other local contractors. And not even just local, but guys just in our region that if, you know, if I can refer them to somebody, I'll do so. But in terms of, you know, if they're looking to do a project with us at that point, you know, I've probably talked to them, vetted them enough, you know, all the questions that I've heard of all the other landscapers and hardscapers you've had on the podcast, you know, mentioned, so to speak. So I'll go out to a consult with them and really like, let's assume that they're asking for a patio off like their back in their backyard or something. When I'm talking to them, you know, I'm really just kind of letting them, you know, just kind of it's almost like letting the client brainstorm. I'm not interjecting too much until maybe after they've kind of rattled off a little monologue of what they're looking for, you know, how much they're kind of willing to spend, or, you know, I may have to kind of drag that one out of them. And budget's definitely kind of difficult to get out of clients because you don't necessarily want to offend somebody. You know, I hear all the time that, well, if you can get a budget out of anybody, do you want to spend $500,000? They're like, oh God, no. You don't necessarily, I feel it's a bit rude to necessarily just go down that path, even though it may sound like you're joking or you may try to be joking. You don't necessarily want to go down that path, you know, with a client like that. So I feel like it just kind of leaves a bad taste in their mouth. Because to them, you're trying to make them feel like, you know, feel important, and listen to them there. But, you know, just kind of gaining what, you know, trying to feel out what their style is. And I'll pointedly ask them, you know, what colors are they more attracted to, you know, kind of browns and tans, beiges, reds, you know, cause I mean, let's face it. If it's a paver, there's probably a color out there for them, you know, regardless of whoever it is you're using. So I kind of ask them what color it is you're looking for, what kind of style are you looking for? And a lot of times you can tell what the client's looking for just by, you know, looking at their house. You know, when I pull up, do they have, you know, is there a lot of decorations out on their front porch or something in their driveway? You know, what does the current landscaping look like? Does it not look, you know, maintained as much? Do they not really have the time? Do they want to kind of devote something to it? Because even though a hardscape, you know, it's not as, you know, it doesn't need maintenance like a lawn does, it still, you know, will need something 3, 4, 5 years down the line as well. So kind of just taking all that into consideration, listening to the client, and then once there, I've kind of got an idea from them off of, you know, how much do they want to spend, you know, just through asking, you know, pointed questions or using examples of our previous work, or, you know, just telling them what you're asking for right now through like what you want and need, it's probably going to be, let's just say $20,000 or something. And if that sounds, you know, if just kind of based on the reaction, if it's a little, they don't seem fazed by it. Okay. I'll kind of keep going from there. And if it's an outdoor, if it's like outdoor living, from there, I kind of go into I don't try to sell people designs. Frankly, if they're looking for a patio or some sort of outdoor living space, they need a design, because it's not even necessarily just for their benefit. It's for our benefit. When I go through and I design and I quote a project, the design helps me to be able to, you know, more accurately get, you know, paver quantities, you know, how much base we're going to need. anything like that. And then obviously on the client end as well, you know, because we offer 2D and 3D modelings, or 3D renders for our clients. I've had such an overwhelming response with the 3D renderings that clients just immediately, they see exactly what it's going to look like ahead of time. And it just takes all the confusion out of it versus if I just do a quote and take off from a design that they haven't even seen. There's probably going to be some, I can almost guarantee there's going to be some confusion, come the actual installation of, well, I thought this was going to be X amount of feet out instead of, where it is, blah, blah, blah. So it helps to clear up confusion down the road. It helps me to be able to quote folks much more accurately. And then they already know what they're getting well before, we even put a shovel in the ground. So that's how I kind of go about our sales process there. Really, I haven't had, I personally like it when customers, just kind of start even ask me questions, because I've got no problem being open with somebody, just telling them, this is, I'm a geek when it comes to this kind of stuff. I could rattle off, technical specs for hours. So if they want to know how much base we're putting down, I've got no problem doing that. And at the end of the day, it just kind of makes the customer feel more assured. And really, I want to leave that first consultation with a design, with a customer paying for a design, because I do charge for designs. It depends on, if they want a 2D or 3D, et cetera. And them feeling assured that they've made the right choice in contacting us, basically.
This is Nick of Earthworks Landscaping.
Well, typically, so I get a lead off my website. I get an email that kicks back, and I have basically a simple questionnaire. It's your name, your address. What are you looking for? There's some check boxes on, different types of things that would happen on a landscaping job. I have a budget drop down. It says what is your budget? And it's like, it starts at 3,000 and goes to 8,000 and then maybe 9 to 15, 15 and up, 25. They have to choose their budget. And then I have a little, have them just fill out a little snippet about what are you looking for? What do you need, landscaping wise? And then from there, I try to get back to somebody as quickly as possible, whether or not I think it's going to be a good lead or not. I try to respond as quick as I can, because I know in this day and age, people want something, they want to be satisfied immediately. So I try to get back to them as soon as I can. And then from there, if it looks like a good lead, I call them and kind of feel them out. I think it's something that over time and with experience, you kind of get a sense of whether or not after you start talking with them and they start talking, you ask questions like, can you tell me a little bit more about the project? Because a lot of times you don't get the full story on that first email. And then once they start talking, you can kind of get a sense of whether or not they're calling three other landscapers for just to get the lowest price, or if they've really kind of vetted you and they want to hire Earthworks. I mean, after just a couple simple questions, I think I can typically figure that out. Not always, but and then from there, let's keep going. It sounds like a good lead. I might, right from that initial interview, phone interview, I might say, okay, well, I have time, this week or whatever day I can swing out and take a look. And does that sound okay? And then from there, we can do a what I call a walk and talk meeting, and come out to the site, walk around. You can show me and tell me what you're thinking, and I can interject some of my professional opinion and some of my ideas. And then from there, we can decide on a design price. Other times, if it doesn't sound like such a great lead, I might not even call them. I might just send them an email right back and say, if it seems to me like it's a job where they're looking for the lowest price, I'll send them back an email that says, certainly, you know, interested, and I could come out and take a look at things. We do charge a consultation fee of whatever I feel like typically it's around $75 to come and take a look at your project. And then from there, I can quote you a design. So that weeds out a lot of the tire kickers, I think. Sometimes I'll get someone that says, yeah, that's fine, come on out. If that's the case and I end up getting the project or we do some work for them, I typically don't charge them that, but I use that consultation fee as kind of a tool to further, qualify somebody. Because I don't have time to, we're busy enough as it is. I don't have time to be going around and doing a lot of pro bono type work as far as like getting bids out to people and things like that. I have some guys that used to work for me that have landscaping businesses that if I think that sounds like a good job, you know, for them, I can send a couple referrals out to them, and those guys could, you know, they're a little bit smaller than we are, don't have as much overhead, and those are kind of perfect jobs for them. So it's nice to have that and be able to refer some of those guys work too. So
I just want to take a moment from today's episode to thank IQ Power Tools for being a sponsor of today's episode. This episode is brought to you by IQ Power Tools, the firm that builds smart, tough, award-winning, clean-cut concrete and masonry power tools that eliminate dust. Eliminating dust from your job site is smart, it saves time, it saves money, and it saves lives. Keep your job site safe and healthy for you and your crew, as well as the neighbors and the homeowner around you, and look professional while you're on the job site with these IQ Power Tools dust eliminating systems. Visit them at iqpowertools.com and learn how to implement healthier and more efficient work practices for your next project. And give them a thanks on their social channels at IQ Power Tools for sponsoring the How to Hardscape podcast. I also want to take a moment to thank our sponsor, Alliance Gator, for bringing today's episode. They are the makers behind Gator Base, a synthetic base option that reduces excavation for patios and walkways. This product is time-proven with millions of square feet installed, holding up to freeze-thaw cycles for years without failure. The product has helped my business personally take advantage of the labor savings. As we all know, good labor is more difficult to find than ever, and demand for our outdoor projects has never been higher. We use this product to keep up with that demand while providing our clients quality installs. The efficiency of this product helps us squeeze in more projects into our schedule, and we use GatorBase as often as we can and whenever applicable. You can find out more about this product at AllianceGator.com, found in the show notes of this episode, and you can connect with your local rep for installation assistance. Now back to our episode. I want to take a break from today's episode to thank our sponsor, Alliance Gator. They are the makers behind Gator Base, a synthetic base option that reduces excavation for patios and walkways. This product is time-proven with millions of square feet installed, holding up to freeze-thaw cycles for years with no failures. Gator Base especially shines in tight access situations. It saves 6 inches of excavation, which reduces the cost of labor involved in that excavation. The cost of disposal of that excavated material and the cost of aggregate and labor involved in installing that aggregate, this makes it a no-brainer in installations where we cannot get a machine into the backyard or where we just want to be more efficient with our time and labor. We use Gator Base as often as we can and whenever applicable. You can find out more about this product at AllianceGator.com, found in the show notes of this episode, and connect with your local rep for installation assistance. Now back to the episode. This is Evan of Pride Hardscape.
I did everything before. 6 months ago, I just had to ask my mom. We had to have the phone lines transferred. I just couldn't get any work at the job site. So they call my mother, AKA my secretary, which we have our office line goes to her. She asked them for their name, their number, you know, kind of, she's really good at communicating with the clients. Like, oh, what are you interested in? And she says patio, backyard, water feature. So right away, I know what I'm getting into with a bid, which is really nice because I get an email that says, so-and-so called, here's their address, here's their email. This is what they're looking for. when can you meet him? She does not send that email to me till after the day's in, because I hate getting those emails during the day, because I feel like I have to call them right away and I stop progress on my jobs and it slows down my crew. So I get those emails, I call them back usually that evening. I set up an appointment within 7 to 14 days. Usually it's, sometimes it's the next day even. I'm open, I'm in the neighborhood. Hey, are you around? And we go, I've had phone calls where I was driving around and they're like, hey, can you meet today? And they said, yeah, we can meet. And I walked into a $60,000 job and I got that job because I met them that day. It was crazy, you know? I really feel like getting back to your clients right away. So we set up the appointment. I go there. We start talking. I figure out what's their vision. I say, what do you want? And if they say, I have no idea, I kind of get excited. But if they say, we want this and this, then I know maybe they've had a hardscape at their past house and this is what they really want. So I listen to them. I give them my input. The first thing I ask is, do you have any water problems? Where are your water problems on your lot right now? And in Oregon, we get a lot of rain. And 75% of the time they say, here's our water problem, here's our water problem. So right off the bat, I find my low spots with my Zip Level. Recently, Zip Level is an amazing tool, by the way. Before I did it with a Transit, it was a pain in the butt. And we get measurements. I go there and I get slope, grade, measured the square footage out. And then we pretty much go from there. And I tell them I get back to you within 7 to 10 days with a hand sketch, a full estimate, a price per square foot on everything, drainage solutions, and I throw in a little bit of extra hardscape in my design, which I like throwing in big boulders. I love 1,000 to 1,200 pound boulders and hardscapes with pavers. I think they look amazing bringing in Oregon nature with hardscape, man-made material. And they get a bid, and I sometimes get emails back that evening and they say, let's meet up and let's see if we can work some things out. Or sometimes I don't hear from them for a week, and that's when we recontact. So after 7 days, we recontact them no matter what to check in. Did you get the email? What do you think? Do you want to meet in person? And I always offer to meet in person if they need to go over the estimate in person, because a lot of people have questions. Like, well, this, you know, why do we need this much gravel? Why do we have this here? And I explain it to them. And then we kind of go from there. Like I said, all my customer base has been pretty good, where they have kind of an idea and they kind of let my design go with it. And I don't know if that's because they feel like they have trust in me, but when I get out there, I can spray paint a whole hardscape out and I can draw a drawing in 15 minutes in the car if I wanted to. And that hardscape, I have some pictures that hardscape, besides a few changes because of flow of traffic, looks exact same as my hand sketch. So it's pretty cool. Like I said, our client base is really nice around here and everybody's really happy with our work and my crew is phenomenal. So it's pretty easy to give estimates now.
This is Adam of Lily Hardscaping.
That's definitely changing. At first, obviously, it was anything that came my way, you get out there as fast as possible and talk to them. Now I'm starting to kind of vet them a little bit over the phone, where it's, what are you looking for? What's the size of the project? Just rough things. So I have an idea, because if they tell me, yeah, I'm doing a driveway and I want it done in a month, then chances are I'm not your guy. As much as I would love to meet you and do the project, it's just not for me. So I do vet, you know, their timeline, the scale of the project, and see where they're coming from. Obviously everything we're up against is numbers, and the numbers vary so much too. So it's tough, but I try getting some idea of a budget out of them to make sure there's something reasonable. Connecticut is a very small state, but there are times that I'm driving, most days actually, I drive an hour each way. So if I'm going to be driving out there, even to meet you, again, being a one-man show, this is one of the negatives, is they say, I want to meet at 5. Well, that actually means that I'm leaving the job site early, and that means productivity stops. So it's getting to that point where I have to make sure that if I come out and meet you, this is something that's viable. This could go somewhere. Obviously not all leads lead somewhere, but hopefully it goes somewhere. So there is a little bit of a process now. I also try to upsell the point of, you know, I try to design more. If you are just looking for a 20 by 20, basic patio, we don't care what it looks like, we don't plan on staying in the house forever, then hey, you know, this might not be the project for us to work together on. If you're looking for something unique, you're going to live there for forever and you want your family to enjoy it, then that's more my talk, you know.
This is Danny of Niche Gardens.
So really the first thing is I kind of just get a brief synopsis of, you know, what makes you call us today type thing. You know, what is it that you're looking for? And once I kind of get a brief description, either before or after that question, I kind of try to feel and say, you know, how did you find out about us? Right after that, once I get the synopsis and stuff like that, you know, I understand qualifying customers and vetting them and all this other kind of stuff. I've done it for years. But for me right now, I'm not saying that I act on everything that comes my way, but I at least go and look and see what's happening. The reason is because sometimes people, they know they need something and they've had somebody put an idea in their head and they instantly just say, okay, I need this. And you may qualify them and say, okay, well, that's not for me. You know, like for instance, I may call and say, well, I've got a drainage problem on the side of my driveway. You know, I need a dry creek bed. You know, do you do that? Well, of course, if I just acted on that and said, man, that's too small. I can't pull all my equipment over there and move everybody just for River Rock Swell. But then if I take the time to go and actually investigate it and look at it, it's kind of like, oh, wow, okay, so you've got this problem because you need a wall here. You know, we need to build up the neighbor's yard a little bit and divert the water from going into yours. So I act on a lot of stuff. Now, someone calls up and says, I need pruning. You know, I'm looking for pruning and stuff like that. I just instantly stop and say, you know, okay, I don't do any kind of maintenance. I'm just not equipped for it. So, you know, I'm not telling everybody to act on everything that comes across your way, but like in my situation, I'm in my third year. I pretty much go check out just about everything. And again, it's just because I don't know exactly if they understand what they're even trying to communicate to me.
This is Dan of Wasson Nursery.
What we'll do is, let's say there's a couple different ways, but you know, clients can email me. They email, they get the general email and they email the staff, and we try to push them in the same funnel. And I'm probably the worst at it. I'm the owners are always the most, you know, pain in the butt guys, because sometimes we skip the processes that we make. And it gets the staff, I'm breaking the rules. But what we try to do is we try to push them into one of the coordinators. So we have two girls. Actually, we have four staff members that are landscape coordinators. And the coordinator's job is to help coordinate everything with the client from beginning to end. And so I'll kick over, if I get an email from a client that wants done, it starts with, I'll kick it over to Annie, and then she'll set up the appointment. She'll kind of ask some basic questions like, what are you looking for? Do you have an idea of a budget? Do you have a time frame? Those are very important questions that we try to at least have some kind of an answer to right off the beginning. And then she'll set up with an appointment, and we'll do an initial design appointment, basically, where we just go out and we have a checklist of things to look at. We'll meet with the client, look them in the eyes, do a handshake, if not now, of course, but, you know, just to get to know them. And, that's where we'll try to figure out what the design is going to take, what design will cost. And at that point is when, you know, they decide to move forward with the design process. If they like, if we get along on the first initial appointment, and, you know, once from there, then we'll go on to more of the design process of, you know, measuring telling them what the design fee is and all the estimating side of it.
This is Matt of Heiner Outdoor Living.
Yeah. So I kind of have a process on the phone. I like to spend a minimum of 10 to 15 minutes just kind of in the realm of pain or pleasure, basically. Why I want to get to the root of why they're calling me in the first place. Is it because they want to just have a nice place? You know, are they tired of mowing the grass? What is that point? That, you know, what is the motivation to calling me? Like, why? You know, is it a new home and they just need to get the HOA minimums done? All right, great. I know that this is going to be a short conversation and we probably won't be a good fit. But are they calling me because they really want to turn their backyard into more of like a resort style space? Then, all right, awesome. Let's talk about that. Yeah, I know I try and get them to tell me more of how they want to use the space as opposed to, you know, spending more time of, well, tell me what features you would like. I don't care if they want a fire pit or this, that, or the other. I'm trying to build them a lifestyle, and, you know, they're coming to me because they don't know how to get there. And so I try and establish myself as an authority and as the designer from the very beginning to show that they do need me. They do need my services, and they're not going to be able to get that lifestyle without working with a competent, talented designer to, you know, put that vision together. I try and put a lot of emphasis on that as the most important part of this process, is to get that vision dialed in, and that we are going to spend a lot of time doing that, and that there is a fee that is attached with that. And so a lot of the people that come to us now kind of expect it, but a lot of the times you have to educate these people that, you know, that it does take time, you know, but if you're giving me a general idea of what you're looking for, I won't just jump into, well, that's going to be this price. I like to do what I call bracketing. You know, I'm going to give them, you know, I'm going to tell them, look, you know, everything that you just told me, Mike, that sounds like a great project. That's something we can do. You know, I can make this look really nice. Like it's something that you would see right out of a magazine and something that we could go submit to awards. And Mike, we could go crazy. We could have a field day. We could be like at $150,000, $200,000 back there. And that might not be what you're after or what you're even wanting to spend or could spend, but you might be thinking on the low end, you know, we could be doing something around this for $50,000 to $60,000. You know, which conversation are we having?
This is Jordan of DPR Landscapes.
When we first started the business, I mean, we would get a call. We'd be so overwhelmed with joy. We would just jump up and leave the house and say, hey, can you do it in 2 hours? And be at the person's house and try and give them a quote right on the spot. However, that's obviously changed quite a bit. So now I do not charge for consultations right now, but I do qualify the lead first. So leads, we just had our website kind of redone and we're still working out a couple more pages on it. But we do have a form submission on our website that asks obviously about the scope of the project, but more importantly about the budget. So there's a minimum amount, and that is how we qualify leads to come in through the website. When I get a call on the phone, I always start by asking, you know, about the scope of the project and then the timeline. So the scope of the project tells me it's worth my time or not. So nowadays, you know, if I get a call and someone says, hey, I need a side door step system and a walkway. Okay, well, the smallest job we do is $10,000. And they're like, oh, I'm sorry, we're not looking at investing that much. So right off the bat, I've saved myself time from going out to see that client. So I would say, you know, develop yourself a minimum amount of money that works for your business and how your business is structured and what is profitable for you. Some guys can do $5,000 jobs and end up being really profitable. It just doesn't work for my business, my overhead, and our machinery. And then basically I also ask, like I said, about timeline. So usually I'm booking at this point about 4 to 6 months in advance. The client's like, hey, I want my job done yesterday. I tell them when we're booking and they're like, nope, sorry, that doesn't work for me. So there goes, you know, another waste of my time. So I don't have to waste my time on those jobs where ultimately the client isn't going to be a fit for us. And then if it is a job that I do want to do, the client, you know, is okay with our scheduling, okay with our timeline, and it comes in through the phone, I ask the client, you know, can you go to our website, please? Can you just follow up on all the scope that you asked for, click off all the boxes that apply to you, and also do you mind entering your budget? The reason I send them to our website to enter the budget is because on the phone, you're putting them on the spot and likely you're only speaking to one person in the family. So obviously the husband and the wife make the decision together, right? So by going to the website, this actually gives them time to talk amongst each other about, hey, like, are we willing to invest 30,000? Are we willing to invest 50,000? What is it? What are we comfortable with? So that kind of gauges me on what I can actually sell the client on when I go to the meeting. So the client goes, hey, I want a patio that's X amount of square feet, or this by this is this big, and I want these features. I know right off the bat, hey, you know, we might not be able to afford this feature, and I can use that as kind of a gauge and a selling tip also. So, you know, if a client says they want all these things, but then I say, okay, just to refresh, you said your budget was 35,000. This isn't going to work within your budget. We're more looking around 50,000. Sometimes clients will go, you know what, okay, we just didn't know what the budget was, like what the cost of stuff like this is, and they'll tell me to go ahead, we're okay if it ends up coming in around 50. So having that price point from the client, I think, is really important. And then, you know, going into the actual presentation of the quote, you know, my initial quote is the full package. So I pride myself in kind of taking the time to make sure that I outline all the client's needs and give them a full and final quote for everything that I'm offering and that they have asked for. It's not any budget. It's not a rough estimate. It's the whole shoot and shebangle. So I ask them to give me a week or two to prepare the quote and design. I take the time now to do the designs themselves, myself. And I also work out material costs on a material and labor basis. I don't do square footages. I don't do per yard, anything along those lines. I think it's really important to do material costs and labor costs and submit your quote that way. And I also think it's really important to submit a thorough quote at the beginning, so that the client, when they are comparing quotes from another contractor, they can see everything that you are offering opposed to what another company is offering. And it also eliminates conflicts down the road because the client fully understands what you're offering and what you aren't offering. So what's included in the quote and what's not included in the quote. I think that's really important. And most of the clients that I sign with appreciate that about our process. And that's one of the reasons why they do sign with us, is because we do take the time to really outline all their needs and prepare them with an accurate, thorough quote. And then I also now, you know, from the last 3 years or so, we've been submitting all of our quotes in person. So we sit down at the kitchen table, meet with the client, talk about all the items. I do this because it avoids miscommunications through email or miscommunications through the phone. If the client has any questions, they can ask then and there, and I can answer those questions, opposed to, you know, a client sending me an email and it takes me half a day to get back to them, and then they take half a day to get back to me, and then I take half a day to get back to them. It's just that back and forth that it saves on. Obviously, COVID has kind of put an obstacle in the middle of that, but recently I have been going back to meeting people in person.
This is Nick of Earthscapes Landscaping.
Yeah, really good point. So when they go to that page, it's a tab at the top of our website that says schedule a consultation, and they pick a date and a time that works for them. And then next it prompts them to answer, I think there's four or five questions on there related to the project, such as like, what services are you interested in? You know, what is your anticipated budget? How did you hear about us? And they're all multiple choice questions, so they have to choose like one of the answers in order to book with us. And it's really great because these are questions that we used to ask. Like, I used to have, you know, my office admin sit and answer the phone every day and say, oh, how'd you hear about us? And, you know, what are you looking to do, and gather all the information. But now they're able to put all the very detailed information in there, and it sends that right over to me when they book. So they do have to answer these questions to continue. We do try to give a lot of information on there as well. Like, our projects start at $3,500, no matter what it is, just based on our mobilization costs and what we need in order to operate on a day-to-day basis. So these questions, I feel like they do a pretty good job of screening. We've gotten some that come through that I'll have to send them an email and just say, hey, listen, like, like we got one the other day that was like, we're looking to get our Japanese maple, you know, manicured and trimmed. And, you know, I just let them know that, and they even clicked like the button that said like 35, because I have it broken down. Like, what's your anticipated budget? 3,500 to 5,000, 5,000 to 8,000. There's a couple different options. And I sent them an email and just said, you know, I really don't think that, you know, trimming the Japanese maple would be within this price, but here's a couple of recommendations for, you know, local tree companies or other landscapers that might be interested in the work and that might be able to work out for you. So
this is Craig of Scheller Outdoor Living.
Well, if it's a referral, then I pretty much just set up a time to meet, or if they're comfortable doing that. I know things have changed a lot, you know, recently, but if somebody, whether it's a contractor or a friend or a previous customer, if they refer me to somebody, I just set up an appointment. I typically, at first I wasn't really, I was just trying, you know how it is when you're starting, you're like, oh yeah, I'll get in front of everybody. And I wasn't really saying, hey, what's your budget? Or if I did, they'd be like, ah, we don't know yet. You know, you get that same answer. So I was doing so many bids and not closing anything. And I'm trying to get back into the game. I'm trying to figure out what people are charging. You know, I actually bought your spreadsheet and I was like, well, this will help me. And it's actually been a really good help. I'm just trying to put all the numbers back in to make sure I'm, you know, doing the costing and stuff right. And the times, but that's been a real big help for, you know, the overhead, you know, the things you just trying to figure out right off the bat. And so what I was doing was a lot of bids and not getting a lot of, you know, sales. We were getting enough sales. So I started doing something different, and I tried to bait them on the budget. And the way I was doing that was, they were like, well, we don't really know. And I said, well, if you need a design, we're going to have to design something that fits your budget, so we're not, you know, wasting your time or ours. So I can design something. We can design something that's 5,000, or we can design something that's 200,000+. And then immediately you get that, oh, well, I was thinking like 30 or 50 or, you know, and it's like, ah, so you did have a budget. So then I can say, or if it's 5, then I'm like, well, that's really not going to work. But if it's 50, then I'm like, well, let's come check it out. I'm sure we can, you know, work something that sounds like you've done enough research that, you know, this is going to be an investment. So that's kind of where that goes. And usually that number is the starting point. You know, we had a pool bid that we turned into a patio, you know, cause they didn't realize pools were so much, but we turned it into a nice patio project. So I try not to leave just saying, sorry, we can't do your pool or we can't do your patio, but we look at other things that we can do or maybe phase the project as we go. So that's kind of, I was spending a lot of time running around. So now that I've gotten busier in the field, I've tried to value my time more, and I have done less estimates, but I've gotten better estimates, I guess. No, not at this time. It's, yeah, we do it for free. I mean, I'm trying to get in front of people right now. But I can see that as I can see that being a thing I do in the future. And I've listened to a couple of your podcasts and heard guys, you know, their different methods of approaching that. I'm also not a designer, so we should probably get that out of the way. I'm an installer. I love the craft. I love the details and all, you know, doing the work. So I work with a designer, and then I have some other things that we do. But so it's, I have to charge for design because I'm paying a designer. So what I typically do is, if it's just a patio and it's fairly easy and they're not wanting a lot of, I'm not a big fan of doing plants and things, but I'll do it to complete the project. I like the construction stuff more. So as a Belgard authorized contractor, they provide their Belgard Design Studio for free for those contractors. So you can send a sketch on a piece of paper or a napkin, and they'll send you back a 3D rendering on Google SketchUp, basically. It has their products and all that. So I've been able to sketch out something and show somebody a 3D drawing of what their backyard is going to look like and not charge them for it. And the way I do that is I say, you know, as a partner with Belgard, you know, this is something they offer me and I'm just going to pass it on to you. And at some point I can say, we can do a 3D drawing and it's going to be $300, or we can have our designer come and do a full scale design for $800 to $1,500. And we've had a designer that we work with. She's contract. She does not work for me. And she's done about three or four for me so far. And it just elevates the jobs completely to another level. And most, I usually bring her in on the full projects. And those people are willing to spend, you know, that money on a larger project.
This is Phil of PJE Lawn Care and Landscaping.
So a lot of times, you know, we're asking them, you know, what their ideal situation looks for, what, you know, what features they're looking for. Are you including a pool, no pool? Are you, you know, do you have any ideas of what you want? Have you done any research on styles and things of that nature that you want? And really try to just feel them out and judge the location. And judge their referral source. So, you know, where did you find out about us? How did you get my number? And what are you looking to have done? And then, you know, going from there, you know, we do, I don't have it with me, but we do have kind of a vetting portfolio of some things that we'll ask up front to make sure that it's something new. But, you know, we do projects as small as $2,500 all the way up to $2.5 million. So project size doesn't really matter to me. It's a matter of, A, what their expected time frame is on that project and how quickly we can get there to get that job done. And B, are they do their personalities mesh with our objectives as a business? Can we make these people happy? Because again, at the end of the day, what we're trying to do is log another sales agent out there selling our next project. So can we marry these people for the long haul? And will this job turn out the way we want it to turn out? And will our personalities mesh to get there? You know, I think one of the industry's biggest, one of the entire industry's biggest problems, and I think that you know, I've helped some guys in this manner. But one of the biggest problems is in our industry is everybody wants to ask people how much they want to spend, you know, when they call or when that first call, well, what's your budget? And I hate it. I think it's toxic. I think it's the worst question you can ever ask somebody. And there's a plethora of reasons for that. But the ones at the top of the line are homeowners. And people that are calling you to ask for your services have no clue what the costs are. So their ideal budget for what they want is rooted off of what they might have found on Google when they Googled what a fire pit should cost or what a pergola should cost. And Google doesn't know what those things should cost. They're finding the most easiest information to find and putting that on there and saying, oh, a 12 by 12 pergola should cost $3,000. Well, all of us know a $12 by 12 pergola is a $7,500 pergola, material, labor, footings, all that stuff in. But that client's information that they got off of Google, uneducated information, in their mind, that pergola is $3,500 because Google said so. So I tell people the worst thing you can do with a client up front before you start the design process, before you start the initial consultation, is ask them what they want to spend. A, because they're uneducated on what it actually costs. And B, they don't know what they want to spend in most cases. And I don't say that as a slap on somebody's intelligence. But what I've found over the years of developing the sales strategy is, I ask clients this, you know, once we get them into contract phase, how much did you think you were going to spend in your backyard? Oh, when we called you initially, we thought we were going to be somewhere around 50 to 75. That same client spent 250, you know? So what we do, we take a lifestyle approach to our sales. When we go into these people, I ask questions like, how many people live in your home? What's your average entertainment party size look like? You know, what are some features that are must haves? And then, you know, if you look at some of our work, you're going to see we implement, you know, fire features, water features, all these kind of upsell things that people don't even know they want. But if you put them on paper and it works really well and your design is phenomenal, they go, oh, well, if we take that out, it really hinders the design. So yeah, I'll spend that $20,000 because it looks cool, you know? And so what I've found is if you go into a meeting and ask somebody and they say, my budget's $50,000 and you design around that $50,000, you leave so much on the table, you know, because let's be real here. I would say 50% of people that are calling to have a outdoor living space created or a complete property overhaul, you know, hardscape and landscaping, have expendable income, and their net worths are probably, you know, much higher than the average. You know, the average homeowner who makes $100,000 a year isn't calling to do a pool and a patio and a pergola and a fire pit and all those cool things. You know, they do, but that's most of our clientele in our industry that are paying for pavers instead of concrete or whatever are they have the disposable income and they just have to be educated on what things cost. So and they're more focused on a cool design and a functional design that works for their lifestyle than they are a number. So, you know, I tell people all the time, you know, I preach it and I preach it and I preach it. Stop asking budgets up front. Stop. Present your budget with the design that works for their lifestyle, a phenomenal design that answers all their wants, needs, and desires. And then watch them quadruple their budget in a split second. You know, it's amazing what happens when you present a design that works for people and answers all those things instead of going, well, you said $50,000, so you can't have this and you can't have that. And we can't upgrade you to this because we got to hit that $50,000 target. Instead, give them all the upgrades and then work back. So, you know, like I said, I have clients that in their mind, it was $50,000. We signed at $250,000, but their initial design was $400,000, you know, and people go, well, that's a lot of work. There's a lot of things that go into that. And I go, look, it's always easier to work backwards from a phenomenal design and go, okay, let's take that feature out. Let's downgrade this smaller patio over here to some kind of decorative stamped concrete instead of pavers, since it won't be used as much and it's not a staple in the design, or let's go to a pergola instead of a solid roof structure, you know, to lessen that number down. It's easier to show, in my opinion, show them all the things that they could have if money's not an issue, and then start chunking it back. And those people who wanted to spend $50,000 will spend $250,000, even though you wanted them to spend $400,000, but you're still 4 or 5 times higher than you would have been had I led that meeting with what's your budget, you know? And I tell my clients transparently, when we meet, I don't want to know your budget. I'm probably going to be over budget on your first design, you know, but I'm going to show you some really cool things. I'm going to show you what your potential is, and then we'll whittle it down to what works. And that model, that sales tactic is why our average backyard is $175,000, not $50,000. That's why, you know, our average client at very least doubles their mental budget with us instead of spending this obscure number that they came up with. We're always double that number. And we capitalize on what every penny that they're willing to dig out of their bank account to pay us. You know, so I think it's huge issue in the industry. Guys go, well, you know, I don't want to waste time on a design that they can't do. And I'm like, you're not wasting time. You're developing a relationship and you're showing them things that they didn't even know were possible, you know. And, you know, no, I'm not going to show somebody a pool if they don't want a pool. You know, I'm not going to show somebody a fire pit if they don't want a fire pit. But I'm also not going to show somebody who says, I want a pool, a fire pit, and, you know, a pergola, what everybody else has shown them, a rectangular pool with a circle fire pit and a seat wall around it and a pergola attached to their house. You know, we're going to get uber creative and give them something completely different and show them some features instead of using landscape lights to light up some trees that are surrounding their patio. I'm going to introduce 5 fire bowls that accent accent the patio and are on a remote switch to turn on that illuminate the patio with some natural firelight. You know, the difference in cost of that is, you know, $500 to put some uplights and some trees, or $15,000 to build some masonry columns and put some fire on them and automate them. You know, ultimately at the end of the day, my pictures show better, my jobs end up being better designed, and clients get stuff that they didn't even know they wanted. And then they can't live without it once they have it. So the next time they sell that house and they build their next house, they go, you know, you put five of those in for me at the last one. I want 10 at this one. We loved them so much. So that's kind of one of the things that we do with our clients early on. That's a little different than our competitors. We don't want to talk money until we have the design that they want, and then try to figure out how to work that into their comfort range.
This is Josh of Mass Hardscapes.
Yeah. So most of our work, it comes through our website. I actually, and this is very different, I don't post my phone number really anywhere. I try not to give my phone number out to customers until they actually are in the sales process. So I like to just go through email. It keeps me more organized. I can keep track of everything. So customers usually are contacting me through email or through the website, which just sends me an email. And the first thing I do is, once they contact me through the website, they have to check off what type of work they're looking for. So I'll have a list of check boxes that will have like patio work, fire pit, fireplace, outdoor kitchen, pool, patio, stuff like that. So immediately I'm getting an idea of the type of project when they first contact me, before even talking to them. Once I get that email, I will usually, the first thing I ask is where they're from, because we're in an area where I live on kind of the line of, there's some money and there's a lot of money. So depending on what town that is coming from, like, there's towns where if they contact me, I know they have money. Like, it's just an automatic, they have money. So that's a good start. I will try to get a little bit more details on what the project is, if they have an idea on design, if they've done research on products, on costs. Just try to get an idea where they're at in the process. Sometimes I will send people to another contractor if I feel like they're just not a good fit, the project's too far, anything like that. But usually I'll end up setting up an in-person appointment, and that's really where I can get a better feel for things. I try not to ask about budget until we're in person. So usually at the in-person appointment is where I can get a really good feel for where that person is at. And if I don't get a good feel, I'll kind of end things there and say, hey, this just isn't a good fit. Contact this person. That way I'm not spending too much time. I don't want to go through the whole design process with somebody and then find out that we're doing $100,000 design and their budget's 40 grand. So try to get a feel for that beforehand.
This is Weston of WB Outdoor.
If someone calls me in the middle of the day and, I take the phone call, I usually try to, you know, have them open up on the phone call. If, you know, I'm interested in the lead, have them tell me about their project. I don't, because I used to make this mistake a lot in the past, I would have a really short phone call. They say, hey, we want turf and some landscaping in our yard. Can you come take a look? And then you're like, okay, sure. What time works best for you? And then basically the whole process is controlled by them. And then you might go there and check it out, and it's not even something you want, or it is something you want, but their idea of price is so far off that you shouldn't have even gone and looked at it, because they weren't going to spend the money anyways. So I had a lot of that happening in the past. And so nowadays, and especially with everything that's gone on with COVID and everything, now I take a phone call. I try to get them to talk about their job with as much detail as possible. And then I always ask them, you know, how did they hear about us? Because I want to know if it's from, you know, the Stoneyard or referrals, or how did they hear about us? A lot of phone calls come from, I'd say about half from like our website or Yelp, or like they just found us online. And those are the ones I really want to vet, because they might just be price shopping on those leads a lot of the time. So recently I've been just having them, I've been doing more of this, just having them like shoot me some pictures of the job. And if they can, just give me some rough measurements. And that will, if not, they're not willing to do that, then, you know, they probably won't do the job anyways. But I usually say, hey, you know, we're backed up like 2 or 3 weeks. I can't even get out there for a couple weeks. Like, are you willing to, you know, if you could please send me a couple photos of the yard in the meantime and some rough measurements. And from there, I can just give you a rough price. Like, and that will determine whether, you know, they want to even do the job or not. It'll give them a ballpark of what it's going to cost. And then they might say, oh, that sounds reasonable. Or no, that sounds way, way more than we're thinking. So then at that point, you know, you're not going to go see the job if they already said they can't afford it. So that's been really big, like, especially with COVID. Like, I think in the whole construction industry, it just ramped up so much more once they kind of got over the initial hump of the whole fear and everyone stopped booking. But once everyone is at home and sitting around, you know, not spending money on vacations and stuff, they started just pouring money into their houses. And so we started getting so busy that we were having to be very selective about what job we were going to take or go and look at, because we just didn't have enough time to look at everything and entertain everyone. So I started just doing the, you know, basically just text message and figure it out, pictures and things like that, and giving them quick, rough pricing. And definitely helped vet our customers and not waste too much time driving around.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast episode. I hope you found this valuable in finding a single episode answering this single question for everybody listening in. And again, you can go to speakpipe.com/howtohardscape to leave us a voicemail that we will play on a future episode. Let us know what you do and your process is around qualifying your clients that contact you, your potential clients that contact you, or even a note about today's episode that you found intriguing. That's again, speakpipe.com/howtohardscape. And once again, thank you to our sponsors, IQ Power Tools. Go check them out at IQ Power Tools on Instagram, or check out their lineup of power tools with integrated dust collection systems at iqpowertools.com, and Alliance Gator as well for sponsoring today's episode. Check them out at alliancegator.com and connect with your local rep to talk about gator base and installation practices. We look forward to meeting with you next week on the How to Hardscape podcast.